Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Chepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Ramagirdhari Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4th Canto 23rd chapter 18th verse onwards. Hare Krishna Ramagirdhari Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining and giving your valuable time and attention this morning. We are very very fortunate to have you on the call Prabhu. Please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much to be kind enough to have invited me for this service. So we'll start the class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam sarva guna vinayasam divye maya maye nadat tam chanushayam atmastam asavanushayi tuman jnana vairagya viryena swarupasto jahat prabhu. Translation performed by His Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Ritu Maharaj then offered the total designation of the living entity under the supreme controller of illusory energy. Being released from all the designations by which the living entity became entrapped, he became free by knowledge and renunciation and by the spiritual force of his devotional service. In this way, being situated in his original constitutional position of Krishna consciousness, he gave up this body as a Prabhu or controller of the senses. As stated in the Vedas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a source of material energy. Consequently, He is sometimes called Maya Maya, Maya Maya, or the Supreme Person who can create His pastime through His potency known as the material energy. The Jiva or the individual living entity becomes entrapped by the material energy, by the Supreme Will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 18.61, we understand, Ishwarak Sarvabhutanam Hiteshu Arjuna Krishti Yamayan Sarvabhutani Yantrarudani Maya. Ishwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is situated within the heart of all conditioned souls, and by Supreme Will, the living entity or the individual soul gets the facility to lord it over material nature in various types of bodies, which are known as Yantra, or the moving vehicle, offered by the total material energy, Maya. Although the individual living entity, Jiva, and the Lord are both situated with the material energy, the Lord is directing the movements of the Jiva soul by offering him different types of bodies through the material energy, and thus the living entity is wandering throughout the universe in various forms of body and becomes implicated in the situations, partaking of the reactions of rupee activity. When Prithu Maharaj became spiritually powerful by the enhancement of his spiritual knowledge, jnana, and renunciation of material desires, he became a Prabhu or master of his senses, sometimes called Goswami or Swami. This means that he was no longer controlled by the influence of material energy. When one is strong enough to give up the influence of material energy, he is called Prabhu. In this verse, the word Swarupastaha is also very significant. The real identity of the individual soul lies in understanding or attaining knowledge that he is eternally a servant of Krishna. This understanding is called Swarupobhavi. By culturing devotional service, the devotee gradually comes to understand his actual relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding of one's pure spiritual position is called Swarupobhavi. And when one attains that stage, he can understand how he is related with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a servant or friend, or as a parent or conjugal lover. This stage of understanding is called Swarupastaha. Prithu Maharaj realized this Swarupa completely, and it will be clear in the later verses that he personally left this world or this body by riding on a chariot sent from Vaikuntha. In this verse, the word Prabhu is also significant. As stated before, when one is completely self-realized and acts according to that position, he can be called Prabhu. The spiritual master is addressed as Prabhupada because he is completely self-realized soul. The word Pada means position, and Prabhupada indicates that he is given the position of Prabhu or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he acts on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is a Prabhu or controller of the senses, he cannot act as a spiritual master who is authorized by the Supreme Prabhu or Lord Krishna. In his verse, praising the spiritual master, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, Sakshat Dharidrena Samastha Shastrai Uptastada Bhavyata Eva Shadvihi. Spiritual master is honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he is the most confidential servant of the Lord. Thus, Srutta Maharaj can also be called Prabhupada or as described herein, Prabhu. Another question may arise in this connection. Since Prithu Maharaj was the power incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satyadesh Avatar, why did he have to execute the regulative principles in order to become a Prabhu? Because he appeared on this earth as an ideal king, and because it is the duty of the king to instruct the citizens in execution of devotional service, he followed all the regulative principles of devotional service in order to teach others. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Krishna himself taught us how to approach Krishna as a devotee, he said, Apani Achari Bhakti Shakayini Shabare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the process of devotional service by setting the example himself through his own personal actions. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj, although a Shaktyavesh avatar incarnation, still behaved exactly as a devotee in order to achieve the position of Prabhu. Furthermore, Swarupa Saha means complete liberation. As it is said, Sitvanyata Rupam Swarupena Yavasitihi. When a living entity abandons the activities of Maya and attains the position from which he can execute devotion service, his state is called Swarupa Saha or complete liberation. Om Ajnanasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नमोऽं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे राम राम हरे हरे. तं सर्व गुण विनयासं जीवे माया महेन्द्रदा पंचानुसयम आत्मस्थम अशा अनुसार ज्ञान वैराग्य वीर्येण स्वरूपस्थो सहाशन. ऋतु महाराज देन ऑफर्ड द टोटल डेजिग्नेशन ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी अंडर द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ इल्यूजन एनर्जी बीइंग रिलीज्ड फ्रॉम ऑल द डेजिग्नेशंस बाय व्हिच द लिविंग एंटिटी बिकेम एंट्रैप्ड. He became free by knowledge and renunciation and by the spiritual force of his devotional service. In this way, being situated in his original constitutional position of Krishna consciousness, he gave up his body as a Prabhu or controller of the senses. We are in a context where Maharaj Prithu is winding up his pastimes. After getting the blessings of Vishnu, getting the blessings of Sanat Kumaras, after giving instructions to all the citizens, after demonstrating by his own personal action how to be an ideal king as well as a responsible ruler, Sanat the worldly pastimes. So, Srila Prabhupada, as always, has given a detailed explanation and also some intriguing thoughts through which he has enlightened us on the subject matter. So, as our regular practice, we will churn this purport more to see what lessons we can learn. Srimad Bhagavatam is an ever-increasing science, glorifying the Supreme Lord. And we will never be able to exhaustively analyze the thoughts and reflections. So we will limit ourselves to whatever within the time frame that we could churn, we will churn. As a first reflection to this particular purport, I would like to remind one of our very early discussions that we had maybe a year before or 2 years before about four levels of evolution of consciousness. Different people have analyzed consciousness evolution, but the analysis that we are going to do now is about evolution of consciousness from an application level. As Prabhupada always says, that which we are not able to apply in Krishna consciousness, if we are not able to say that I will not put this in practice, we are only half the ocean past. We have not crossed the full ocean. In a materialistic context, if we are only half finished, it is as good as doing nothing. In spiritual context, definitely an endeavor is appreciated. The means and ends are one and same. We need to reach the end also. So four levels of consciousness with respect to application is relevant in this context because from Vena, Maharaj Prithu's winding up the pastime, we will analyze these four consciousness evolutions. So, what are these four levels? Level number one is a stage of individuality. Level number two is a stage of formality. Level number three is a stage of religiosity. Level number four is a stage of spirituality. These four are four classic operational principles with respect to our applications. Unless we classify ourselves in our application principle, we may presume, assume, understand our state of mind and try to rationalize our activity. Rationalizing our actions, especially after taking up Krishna, is so detrimental that after a long period of time in Krishna consciousness, we may start blaming the process because of not getting the necessary result. Hence, we need to talk about these four levels of consciousness and how we should not avoid, how we should avoid not to rationalize our state of mind. This rationalization, we will bring in so many of the so-called materialistic education. All it teaches is how to rationalize your behavior, how to justify your behavior for whatever you are up to, and simultaneously teaches us how I am supposed to blame everybody else, every other situation to substantiate my views. This got started long, long ago when Daksha did that. Daksha, when he first met Lord Shiva, when Lord Shiva came to the fire sacrifice that Daksha was performing, when Lord Shiva did not get up when Daksha entered the courtroom, Daksha, because of his past vengeance with Lord Shiva, he kind of gave a blast. He kind of accused, abused Lord Shiva, and he gave some spiritual justification he gave, not spiritual justification, he gave some justification saying that how it was right on his part to accuse Lord Shiva for the welfare, stating it is I am doing for the welfare of humanity at large. So, in our analysis of this four stage, the stage of individuality is what designation. So, half of the time in this world,
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, sorry to disturb you, Prabhuji, but your voice is very low. Always it sounds very nice.
How about now? Am I speaking?
Yeah, just come closer to the phone. Talk.
Okay. Am I audible now?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So, I was saying that how Bhagavatam explains that upadhi, sarva upadhi nirmuktam tatparatyena nirmalam. It tells that the designation that one possesses is the one of individuality I'm talking about. Where each and every one of us, we identify ourselves with our designations with respect to dress, address, education, and all the other possessions, wealth, beauty, strength, position. So basically all these designations are something that is detrimental in our social life. So self-centered nature is anyway condemned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the stage of individuality is a condemned stage. With King Vena was trying to perform all his activities based on his self-proclaimed, self-centered, which the Brahmanas who enthroned him completely condemned that, and eventually they couldn't tolerate. After giving enough warning, they kind of killed him. They killed him, and eventually gave Prithu Maharaj an opportunity to rule. So the individuality, that is the reason because of this whole pastime has to unfold, that Prithu Maharaj has to appear and all the episodes that have to happen, it will happen in our case as well. So anybody who is self-centered, anybody who is self-proclaimed, anybody who is, constantly working about his I, me, mine, he'll have to face the consequences of this material nature. So Prabhupada in many, many places clarified this aspect of his gender, how this self-centered nature is not going to help us in Krishna consciousness. And here, Maharaj Prithu got completely relieved and he is able to reach up to the stage of Swarupa Siddhi. It is because he relinquished his individuality to the nth level as if there is nothing left about his self-identification. So, in our Krishna consciousness, this individuality, the stage of individuality, the stage of self-proclaimed, self-centered identity has to be given up. This individuality should not be misunderstood as self-realization. Because self-realized souls also have some sort of an identity, but that is called true ego. So here we are referring only to the false ego. What are the false ego say? Unai karmani sarvataha ahankara vimodatma karsahamiti manyate. That the individual spirit soul assumes, accepts, realizes that he is the doer and he controls. And Krishna classifies that spirit soul as Vimura, classified fool. So that's the stage one of individuality. Now, what is the stage of formality? That individuality people are like atheists, those who are, believers of science is the ultimate. And those who are thinking that the modern education system supersedes every other education system. So they think that, they have the full control over whatever that is happening. But there are people who operate on the mode of formality. This is also not a good state, but it is slightly, for all use of weightage. That the reason is, this formality platform is a platform of hypocrisy. Then, at least for the sake of formality, he visits the temple. At least for the sake of formality, he glorifies the process. At least for the sake of formality, he appreciates certain things. So this is still condemned, but then this is classified as a fate because in Kali Yuga, 9 out of 10 Brahmanas, 9 out of 10 so-called spiritualists, they do their activities for the sake of formality and public image. So this is no good than the previous category. Sometimes it is worse than the previous category, but at least this category needs to be recognized. So I should neither be in the stage of individuality where I think what I do is correct, what I'm thinking is correct, and I should be the beneficiary. Nor we should be in the stage of formality where I bow down, I appreciate, I glorify, I situate myself where I'm looking like a devotee, where I am appreciated for my external activities. So because that is also completely condemned. The third stage is a stage of religiosity, which is accepted in various devotional forums. The acceptance here is because if somebody cannot be operating on the platform of bhakti, so the platform of dharma is giving some solace, some relaxation, and some righteousness. That at least I am safeguarding myself from being a sinful person. I am at least being a person who is in the platform of dharma. So when Krishna was talking to Arjuna, so Krishna was trying to definitely going to speak about bhakti in the later stage. But at least in the beginning, Krishna's argument was, my dear Arjuna, at least don't be in a stage of sin, papa. So hence the third platform in which somebody should operate or somebody operates on is the platform of dharma, religiosity. Religiosity has got religiosity. I'm talking about genuine religiosity where we genuinely perform religious activities, dharmic activities, and sin is completely avoided. Platform in which our devotional journey can be beginning, and to the barest minimum, we as practicing devotees should be adhering ourselves to dharma. Then the fourth stage is the fourth stage of spirituality, wherein the whole dimension, the premises, and the operative procedure is completely on how to please Krishna and how Krishna is the center of our life. So these four stages, and each of the stages has got their own gradations, which we will not discuss today. Like how spirituality itself has got 9 gradations according to Rupa Goswami. So similarly, dharma also has got its own gradations. And there are so many details to this. But as a first reflection to this context, we need to explain how from where Swarupa Siddhi or attaining the stage of, Swarupopalabdhi, we have seen spirituality, formality, dharma, and eventually the stage of spirituality is established. In case of King Vela, trying to perform completely on the basis of individuality as well as formality. And Indra, he had amount of individuality and formality because of it coming and trying to disturb the fire sacrifice of Maharaj Trishu. Brahma intervening and trying to advise Maharaj Krithu to give up this fight, and Maharaj Krithu's son Vidhitattva going and giving Indra away. He was acting righteously, so following some dharma. And finally, when Maharaj Krithu surrendered to the words of Brahma, we got to see what spirituality is all about. Then within the spirituality, we get to see how just by following the process of your spiritual authority, we can finally reach the destination, which is considered as getting the blessings of self-realized soul. So many details have been spoken in the last few months, few weeks, on this Maharaj Kirtu's association with four Kumaras. So my first reflection hence is, we as practitioners should never ever be in the stage of individuality or formality. We should definitely try to come to the stage of at least religiosity, even though that is not, you know, fully recommended. At least we need to make sure that we follow dharma, not do any sins, and eventually raise our consciousness up to the level of being, you know, a spiritual person and operate ourselves in spiritual journey. That is why it is said that the moment one surrenders to a spiritual master, accepts the spiritual master as his authority, it is not that he is completely purified. He has to still follow the instructions and get himself through the process. But just that, when he surrenders to the spiritual master, accepts the initiation, all the sins are washed away. That is why every time when Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about Vaishnava association, whether he's talking about self-reflective thinking, everywhere he says, this process of Krishna consciousness is so purifying that all the accumulated sins are completely, you know, purified. He's never saying that all the accumulated aparada, all the accumulated offenses get purified. Only sins can be purified through this process. Aparada relinquished by our... So my first reflection in this current context is for anybody to even think, talk, comprehend, and even assimilate what is Swarupa B, or what is Swarupa Saha, or what is Swarupa Siddhi, we need to come, you know, as a barest minimum, come to the understanding of spirituality. In spirituality, we should have the barest minimum understanding of what is Anartha Nivritti. Till that time, all our activities, our hearing of Bhagavatam, chanting, dancing, eating prasadam, everything is directed towards elevating our consciousness to come to the stage of spirituality, formality, and religiosity. This is my first reflection. The second reflection in this current context is where Maharaj Prithu is getting the privilege of realizing it, Swarupa Siddhi, became free from all the worldly affairs. He became free from all the materialistic affairs. And Prabhupada writes, this is happening by the process of knowledge and renunciation. This knowledge and renunciation aspect is being discussed in many, many contexts, in many, many circumstances. This is knowledge and renunciation. It is to be understood in a slightly deeper manner, because for us, practicing Krishna consciousness is this knowledge and renunciation. Whatever I said, from individuality to spirituality, everybody has to elevate. The process is knowledge and renunciation. So let us talk about knowledge and renunciation as a part of our second reflection. If a practicing devotee gains knowledge, if the practicing devotee has a knowledge, if this knowledge is acquired without blessing, that knowledge will make our heart hard. Let me repeat. We many times think that I should become Bhakti Shastri, I should become Bhakti Vaibhava, I should become whatever, you know, titles. I should be a knowledgeable Bhagavatam speaker. So it is extremely important that we need to understand the knowledge that is referred over here is not about Panditya. The knowledge that is referred about is about inheritance. Empathizingly inheriting the mood along with the content. So long as we don't inherit the spiritual knowledge along with the mood of the acharya, along with the blessings of the devotee, the knowledge will be an obstacle in our journey. That which is considered as a process of transformation, as it is spoken about knowledge and renunciation in this sloka, if that knowledge is not received along with blessings, as well as the mood of the parampara, this knowledge will itself become an obstacle by making our heart hard. So we discussed about five types of shravanam long time back. If somebody do a hearing, spiritual hearing, we spoke about five types of hearing. The hearing we spoke about was empathetic hearing. I don't want to get into that class again, but the idea was, of all the five stages of hearing, the fifth stage was empathetic hearing. What was empathetic hearing? I hear, follow, learn, not just content, not just the skill, not just the philosophy, but also the mood in which I'm supposed to assimilate and apply them. So with respect to knowledge, whenever we speak about knowledge, it's not just the content, it is about the mood as well as the process. With respect to renunciation, the renunciation combined with the knowledge is something that is very scientific. The reason why Prabhupada says knowledge and renunciation is, the knowledge is the cause, renunciation is the effect. If by acquiring the knowledge from a bona fide source, if renunciation is not happening, that can very well be a validation saying that the knowledge that we acquired is an obstacle. So knowledge for all things, we should learn to slowly relinquish, renunciate from all our worldly affairs. If you are saying that I am gaining knowledge, I am becoming student of Bhakti, becoming student of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and becoming Krishna consciousness process, but my attachments have not reduced, my sense gratificatory propensity have not reduced, and I am getting more and more entangled in worldly affairs, then there is something wrong. So our second reflection is that as a practicing devotee, we need to understand and apply the knowledge and renunciation in the right sense. Hence, second reflection has got three points. Point number one, the knowledge alone with only philosophical input is an obstacle. Point number two, hence knowledge needs to be received with blessings, and we should inherit the reward, and that way the knowledge will have a very transforming effect within us. And number three, that knowledge with mood and blessing is a cause for our transformation and the effect is renunciation. Now, with respect to renunciation, what are we renouncing? We are renouncing our dogish mentality. We are renouncing our propensity to enjoy this world, thinking that everything belongs to me. So once that propensity is removed, then our renunciation is complete. Because the renunciation word of renouncing something comes from what you claim that as yours. When everything belongs to Krishna, when everything is provided by the Supreme Lord, how can I renounce? That is why we always spoke about two truths. One is Krishna and Krishna. So apart from this, everything else is Maya. And that is our third reflection. So our third reflection is that how Prabhupada guides that Maya Maya, how the Supreme Lord is addressed as Maya Maya, and how the Supreme Lord is also addressed as Sanatana, and how anybody who has surrendered to the Supreme Lord is addressed as Prabhupada or Prabhu. So many times we call each other Prabhu. I am not getting into the tricky conversation of whether we call a Mataji Prabhu or not, but I leave it to individual's understanding. But then the whole aspect of Prabhu is addressed, or respect towards each other is addressed from the context of how much they are self-realized. So the Maya Maya that Prabhupada referred, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hideshu Arjuna Tishati, Paramatma sitting in the heart, giving all the directions, screaming and saying that Ramji Vidari, don't make a mistake. Screaming and directing that please, you know, get regulated. So Krishna as Paramatma doing his constantly activity of Upadrishta, Anumanta, Dharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara. He's doing how he is a witnesser, how he is sanctioning, and how he is becoming a well-wisher friend. He is doing it regularly. Now, who is considered as a Prabhu, who is considered as a not Prabhu, is one who gives oral reception, one who gives an attentive hearing to such a sound vibration from within. One who hears Paramatma, one who hears the words of the Supreme Lord from within, who is giving direction, that person is called Prabhu. And that person is able to do that by surrendering to another Prabhu or another Prabhupada or another Maya or another Sanatana. So, this process of Krishna consciousness hints establishes a fundamental fact that the process cleanses by being a Naradama and purifies us and makes us Narottama. So by we surrendering to Maya Maya, by we surrendering to the Supreme Lord, by we acknowledging, and Prabhupada writes, how do we acknowledge? Sakshadharidvena samasta sastraye. We acknowledge that my spiritual master, Supreme Lord, representative, and what Krishna would have otherwise personally given to me, my spiritual master is given to me. So this time when we were in Vrindavan, we were discussing a very interesting theme. So we had a 4 days of yatra. Every year I take some youth, as I mentioned, our Vanara Sena. So our New Year, I mean, even though we don't subscribe to this Christian era, but that's the time where everybody gets a vacation or whatever that is. So we have been to Vrindavan. Last week I was in Vrindavan for 4 days. So during the Vrindavan stay, we had a theme. Like every year we have a theme. So this year our theme was Sanatana. So what was the theme was Sanatana? So we had 4 days. Every day we discussed one aspect of Sanatana, which is what the, you know, point the Prabhupada is writing here. That unless and otherwise we purify our upadhi, unless and otherwise we surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, unless and otherwise we serve them, we will not be able to get attracted to Krishna, which is called Swarupa Siddhi. So the Sanatana theme that we did was, we used the Sanatana as an acronym and said, service attitude. If somebody has got a very good service attitude, if somebody knows how to serve his spiritual authorities in a very humble state of mind, and service attitude gives us access to natural attraction. So SA for service attitude, NA for natural attraction, because the service attitude instills purification within the heart. You will be able to naturally get attracted to Krishna. And these two things, service attitude and natural attractions, are they go hand in hand. For my attitude is tuned and refined and better, I will be able to get naturally developed attraction to Krishna, which is what Prabhupada is talking about as Swarupa Siddhi. Now, there are two other aspects of Sanatana Avijar, TA and NA. And natural attraction is possible only when we learn to tolerate agitation and learn to neutralize anarthas. So that was our Sanatana. So service attitude gives access to natural attraction to the Supreme Lord when we learn to tolerate our agitation and neutralize our anarthas. That's our purport conclusion. If you read this entire purport, this purport can be clubbed into this one particular word, Sanatana. The way I do a service attitude, and in Vrindavan, they say the Krishna's arrangement, they are a wonderful, you know, coincidence also. So every day the theme that we discussed, we were matching to the places that we were visiting. So the first day, when we were discussing about service attitude, we went to Bhaksana, Randagram, and Vrindakund. All the three places, they are personalities and, you know, devotees, for them the best of their services, and they're still doing it. Vrindavan is after Vrinda Devi. So we were discussing how service attitude is important and what is the frame of mind we need to have. The second day, we discussed about natural attraction. We went to Giriraj, Govardhan, Parikram. So Giriraj, we had discussed elaborately, you know, every day we had 5 hours class or 4 hours class. So how Giriraj is helping, Giriraj is demonstrating that person who has got a service attitude will get naturally attracted, and this natural attraction is not one way, natural attraction is two ways. A person who has service attitude gets attracted to Krishna, and Krishna also gets attracted to that person, and this is natural, this cannot be restricted, this cannot be controlled. The third day, we went to Talavan, Dauji, Gokul, and various other places, and we discussed about tolerating agitation and how, what is the basis of our tolerating agitation. Balaram is available to give us necessary strength. I need spiritual strength to tolerate agitation. Agitation, all the Rupa Goswami is explaining in Upadeshamrita, verse number 1, verse number 2. Plus many more. We can go on listing our agitations. So these agitations can be tolerated when we have Dauji by our side, when we have spiritual strength. And Prabhupada writes, Balaram is in all forms, Santarasa, Dasyarasa, Sakyarasa. So Balaram is coming as spiritual literature, Dham, paraphernalia, spiritual master. So Prabhupada writes here how by surrendering to our spiritual master, we get the spiritual strength, and with that spiritual strength, we are becoming cleansed of this Maya's effect. We get cleansed of our designation, and finally, we will be able to get realized to our natural constitutional identity by which we can serve the Supreme Lord. And the fourth thing that we discuss is that we need to make sure that we need to neutralize our anarthas. And the fourth day, we went to all the local, you know, Goswami's temple. And Goswami means one who has neutralized his anartha, one who has become Prabhu or Prabhu in this particular purpose. So this Sanatana, Uddhava is writing a letter to Krishna, and when Uddhava is writing a letter to Krishna, he is addressing Krishna as Sanatana. So it is very scientific. In whichever angle you analyze Krishna consciousness, it is not a sentiment. That is why Srila Prabhupada says our Krishna consciousness movement is a scientific process by which we can win more and more souls to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and no other processes can give such an access, because we are going to the root of it, eliminating the unwanted things and revealing the reality that is within us. So hence the third reflection is about how by we surrendering to the Supreme Lord as Maya, and one who can, who is a master, one who can save us from all the materialistic illusions and eventually become Prabhu by surrendering to Prabhupada. And the result is Swarupa Siddhi. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, what is our Swarupa? Because apart from Iswan, really Gaudiya as well as Sahajya process, which Srila Prabhupada is condemning, warning, where prematurely they talk about Swarupa. Prematurely they talk about Sahaj, how we can become closer, communion, and get, you know, personal Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada is very strongly condemning. And one of the beautiful aspects of Prabhupada's teaching is, Prabhupada is approaching things in a very scientific manner, not just emotional and sentimental. So Prabhupada says, if somebody is practicing this process of Krishna consciousness, as suggested, as delineated by our Goswami, a day will come where you will be able to realize your own Swarupa, or in a confidential way, your spiritual master will reveal your Swarupa. Till that point in time, you need not ponder on this topic, you need not dwell on this, what will be your Swarupa. So, here, Maharaj Krithu never, you know, life changed, what is my Swarupa? He kept on doing his devotional service. He kept on serving. He kept on fulfilling his responsibility for which he was enthroned. And in the process, God passed many, many stages of tests as well as, you know, appreciation and as well as receiving of blessings. And finally, when he is winding up the worldly pastime, he is now getting the privilege of realizing his own Swarupa, and that is being spoken for the benefit of everybody. In a similar arrangement, Tukaram Maharaj, when he was, you know, living in this mortal world, so he operated definitely on the spiritual platform, and finally when he left his body, he could realize his Swarupa, and he was directly airlifted to Vaikuntha plane. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj, similarly Prahlad Maharaj, similarly Bhishma Pitamaha. So there are many, many people. So they all have demonstrated in their journey, in their life, that they kept their service intact, they kept their humility intact, and finally the process has given them access to the spiritual consciousness, which eventually we all need to realize. Because each and every one spirit soul of ours, each and every one of us, are definitely having a constitutional position in the spiritual abode. We all have our individual services and relationship with the Supreme Lord, either in Shantarasa, or in Dasyarasa, or in Sakyarasa, or in Vatsalyarasa, or in Madhuryarasa. But if we prematurely dwell on it, as it is always, you know, seen in Vrindavan, some premature, amateur devotees, they dress themselves like a gopi, they dress themselves like Krishna, they dress themselves like some, you know, different people. You know, in a philosophical understanding that they have reached the stage of gopi bhava or samsara operation, Srila Prabhupada strongly condemns that. Srila Prabhupada says, anybody who does not have proper knowledge about our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, they will only do such a, you know, funny thing. So every one of us should be very careful. Goswamis never did that. Our never did that. Hence, focus all your energy in purifying your anarthas, surrendering to Prabhu, and hearing the words and inheriting the mood. That way, you will be able to get your self-realization and Swarupa Siddhi very easily. So, to summarize our class today, we have three sets of reflections. Reflection number one is about four levels of operations in terms of consciousness level, relating to, you know, our application of Krishna consciousness or, you know, our thoughts. One is the level of individuality, where we are self-centered and talking about how I should be the beneficiary, which is condemned. Level two is the level of formality, which is again, you know, the so-called brahmanas and learned men in Kali Yuga operate on the principle of hypocrisy. And third is the stage of religiosity, where dharma is the basis. Probably it is not absolutely pure, at the same time it is pure from the sin. So the stage four is the stage of spirituality. And Maharaj Prithu's episode, the entire Leela of Maharaj episode, since we are getting to the tag end of the Leela. So we know that how King Vena, who was very individual, how he was hypocritical, and how Indra, this, you know, nature, how both, and how Brahma and, you know, Prithu Maharaj's son, they had, you know, followed Dharma, because when the fire sacrifice is done, Brahma appeared and was trying to help Maharaj Prithu. Of course, he went one step forward and also giving him instructions not to, you know, do anything against Indra. Rather, he wanted, you know, Prithu Maharaj to demonstrate some devotional qualities. And eventually, the spirituality has been explained from the time when Maharaj Prithu got darshan of Vishnu. And from that point in time till this now, all that is being discussed, all the instructions that Sanat Kumaras have been giving is about the science of spirituality. So the second reflection that we discussed was about how knowledge and renunciation, how knowledge should not only be, you know, panditya spiritual skills. It is about the mood and the process. So we discussed three points in that. Number one, that simply knowledge will alone make our heart hard. And knowledge alone is not our goal. Knowledge is only the stepping stone. And number two, when receiving knowledge from a bona fide source, you should receive the knowledge with blessings and inherit the mood and the process. And that way, the knowledge will fill the heart to sow the seed. And when that knowledge is heard, it is cause for our important cause, important process, important factor for our transformation. The effect is we will naturally renounce our materialistic propensities, and hence knowledge and renunciation contribute our growth in Krishna consciousness. And this renunciation should not be just renouncing worldly things. Renunciation is renunciation of dogish things, dogish mentality. Because we cannot really renounce, because nothing belongs to us. But renouncing our dogish mentality, thinking that I am the enjoyer, I am the doer, I am the master, has been relinquished. And that renunciation, Krishna says, when somebody understands the truth of Krishna and Krishna, becomes very easy. And the third reflection is about Maya. And when we surrender to Krishna's lotus feet, how when we realize and acknowledge that Paramatma is sitting in the heart and giving us all direction, how when we surrender to Prabhu, how when we surrender to Prabhupada, how when we serve them very nicely, we will also eventually be able to get purified of our anomalies and get Swarupa Siddhi. So we spoke about the acronym Sanatana, where service attitude leads us to natural attraction towards the Supreme Lord. When we learn to tolerate agitation and also learn to recognize our mindset. So the very scientific science of Krishna consciousness, which we have been talking in different forums, and there's one other sloka which reinforces, reiterates what is expected of us. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If there are any questions or comments, you can discuss.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Can I, well, thank you for the class, first of all. But can I refer you back to the part of your talk when you were saying that knowledge should come with mood? So can you elaborate on this mood that you're talking about?
So we spoke a long time back about five stages of hearing. First stage of we actually don't hear, we just ignore or we just pretend. The second stage is we are only inattentive. The third stage is we are doing selective hearing. Fourth stage is we are doing attentive hearing. Fifth stage is called empathetic hearing. So
I'm sorry. You said the fourth stage, the fourth kind of hearing was what? Fourth and fifth?
Fourth one is empathetic hearing. Okay, the difference between attentive hearing and
empathetic. Oh, we lost you.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay, Hare Krishna, can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you, Madhavi.
Okay, so you were about to explain the difference between attentive hearing and empathetic hearing?
Yes. Attentive hearing is what we know as attentive hearing, that I sit and very humbly, with a very respectful manner, and I learn the lessons and go. But empathetic hearing is, I not only learn the lessons, I also inherit the mood of the Acharya. Like Prabhupada is giving a class. Prabhupada is from the Prabhupada. Take some notes, take some lessons. But what is the mood in which he is taking the class? What is the mood in which he is addressing the audience? What is his mission? What is the ultimate goal for which he is doing all these things? So if somebody understands that as well, then they'll be able to relate to the whole science of Krishna consciousness in a much better way. So when you hear from a bona fide source, it is extremely important that we hear the content of the class, also hear the mood of our parampara. Because the same Bhagavatam shloka
can be spoken by a Mayavadi, but he will have a different focus, different purpose. Like how Prabhupada writes an introduction to Bhagavad Gita about different people writing purports to Bhagavad Gita. Why this Bhagavad Gita as it is unique? Because the Prabhupada carried the mood, kept the mood of the whole science of Krishna consciousness intact, the purpose for which Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. So not just the technical nuances is only being maintained. So empathetic hearing means I learn the science. Along with the science, I learn the process of the science, how it has to be applied. Along with the process, I also apply the intention, why I should apply the process and the end result for it. So the mood is something very important in this process, because attitude is everything in Krishna consciousness, not the result. If the attitude is right, the result is correct. If the attitude is not correct, even if the result is correct, the net result is zero. Similarly, if mood is not behind that, I just heard the science and I go and repeat it, no fun will happen. One time Gopal Krishna Maharaj went to Srila Prabhupada and told, he thought Srila Prabhupada was very particular about book distribution. So in Mumbai, there was a big international book fair. Book exhibition was launched. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, this is a very big international book exhibition. So we should participate and put up a stall there so that people who are visiting, they can buy a Bhagavad Gita. Very same thought, very important, very strategic. But the Srila Prabhupada's response was that that's all right, but please note, our books are being sold, people are buying, not just because of the content, it is also because of the inspiration, enthusiasm and attitude of our preachers who are selling the books. Then the person who is selling the book is fully enthusiastic and spiritual emotion, book distribution happens very nicely. So the whole idea is our Krishna consciousness is not about just the knowledge, it is about the applied knowledge, vijnana. And applied means inherent in the mood, along with the process, along with the blessings. Okay, then?
Yes. Just now, because the sound quality is poor, I couldn't hear completely what Srila Prabhupada's response was when you said that, when the devotee suggested putting up a bookstall, he said, Srila Prabhupada said it should not just be what?
I was trying to say that Srila Prabhupada was insisting on a point that our book distribution happens not just by strategy, it also happens by spiritual consciousness of the book distributor. So he says that our books definitely, it was not discouraging or neither was discounting that different strategies shouldn't be avoided. We are not saying that books should not be kept in a store. But Prabhupada was saying that when a devotee with full love and surrender to a spiritual master goes out and distributes books, then the results are much more than otherwise. That's the point.
Okay. And this empathetic hearing, this empathetic hearing, that was the fifth type, right? Attentive was the fourth. And the five types of hearing, attentive hearing was the fourth, and empathetic hearing was the fifth?
Yes. If it is attentive hearing, we are only hearing the content and also, the philosophy, you may be able to understand them. But empathetic hearing is, you're also carrying the mission forward. You're becoming a soldier. It is like I am a citizen and I am a soldier. A soldier means you are a citizen plus something. A citizen is just a citizen. We are all supposed to be soldiers where I not only know the rules of being a citizen, I am also interested in protecting the country by being a responsible member, by inheriting the responsibility of my predecessors. So we, when our Prabhupada taught to us, he expected us to be soldiers, where I not only, take care of myself, I take care of many, many other souls to be surrendering to Krishna. Make sense?
You take up the mission of your teacher. Right, basically.
Yeah, so the difference between attentive hearing and empathetic hearing is the difference between being a citizen as well as a soldier. Attentive hearing is being a citizen of a state. Soldier is being an army man, which is one step ahead of being a, you know, citizen.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji?
Okay, thank you so much for engaging in this service. Grantra, Srimad Bhagavatam,
thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji, once again for such a beautiful class. If there are no more questions, we would like to end the call here by offering obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa tarubhyasya cha kripa sindubhya evancha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Ananta koti Vaishnava vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, His Grace Ramagirdari Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Prabhuji.
Very beautiful class.